This is Valley Edition. First, there was one. Now there are two, and soon there could be a lot more. I'm talking about potential candidates and current candidates to be the next mayor of Fresno. Here to talk politics, we have with us in the Valley Public Radio studio, John Ellis of the Fresno Bee, local political expert and a reporter du jour. John, welcome.
Thanks, Joe.
Last week, a bit of news in that a new name has entered the race. The second candidate officially declared for the race to be the next mayor of Fresno, and that's a name sort of out of the past in Fresno political landscape, a brief one, and that's H. Spees.
Right. Not too distant past, but he hasn't really been, I think, publicly in the public spotlight. It's in the last 7 or 8 years since he left as the he was senior pastor at Northwest Church. Before that, though, I think if anybody has been around for a decade or more, they would remember that he was the guy that Alan Autry recruited briefly when he decided he was not going to run for a second term. And then I think something, you know, the Northwest job came open as on an interim basis, right in that it all happened. This all happened in a very short span of time.
Just a few weeks.
Yeah, in 2003. So H was in. He said he was in. Autry endorsed him. He was Autry's handpicked successor. And a short time later, he backed out saying he was going to take the job at Northwest Church. And then I think Autry looked around, I guess, and couldn't find a suitable alternative that that was acceptable to him. So he ended up running for his second term reluctantly, I guess, and the rest is history. But the interesting thing about H, whose name is Harold, but I think everybody in town knows him as H and has for, you know, decades, is that leading up to that point, he was very active in the community. People just who've been around like the last 7 or 8 years just probably are saying who, but you know, he was active on community boards, and he was part of these task forces and everything that the city would and the school district were putting up. And he came out very vocal in support and against some of the Fresno Unified Superintendents. So he was a very active person in the city, had one-by-one leadership. A lot of these, and I think this whole thing has been, he comes from this background of trying to help underprivileged people, you know, I think it's an interesting contrast for H in that I think a lot of people identify him with Northwest Church, evangelical. I think that's where probably his base would be, but his history is with, you know, helping underprivileged communities. After growing up in Los Angeles, he went to Mississippi for like more than a decade, helped building homes for the underprivileged out there. So, and now he lives in the Lowell neighborhood. I think he's kind of an interesting, contrast of H. Spees. You know, here's a guy who lives in Lowell. He's lived there for a long time. He's not just a guy who just moved there. It's not some PR stunt to live in the hood and that kind of thing. He's lived there a long time, and it's a tough neighborhood and it's poor. And yet I think a lot of people identify H as being the part of the Knees Avenue evangelical Christian church crowd.
So with H living in Lowell, Lowell has been a big focus for Mayor Swearingen. Her big push is downtown, older neighborhoods, revive the older parts of the city. Would Spees essentially be a Swearingen third term, or is he crafting his own vision for the city in the brief amount that he's been back on the scene?
Right. Well, that I guess I don't really know yet. I really should say that he hasn't quite officially, you know, he told us that he was going to run.
And when I think, you tell the Fresno Bee and tell John Ellis,
he said he's going to officially announce in January. So he had told me that he would tell me when he decided, and he's been. You know, this is not a surprise for anybody who kind of follows politics, because he's been talking to groups and meeting people for months and months. I mean, I did a story back in, I think it was early March or late February on the possible field, and H was in there, and he gave me a quote at that time saying he was meeting people and we'll decide shortly. Well, here we are several months later, and and I think it was, I mean, I always got the feeling that he was going to run. You know, Autry is as in 2004, Autry is still behind him. Larry Powell, the former Fresno County School Superintendent. I haven't talked to Larry lately to check, so I should be careful about, you know, announcing something. But as far as I know, Larry's always been very supportive of H, and nothing that I know of would have changed that. So I suppose that Larry is backing H. So that's H's crowd. You know, he's got Autry there. He's got Larry Powell there. Would it be Ashley Swearingen's third term? You know, in some ways, I think it would. I think he probably likes the general plan infill and Swearingen, like you pointed out correctly, that Lowell has been just so much of a focus, I think, of trying to lift up a neighborhood. Lowell, more than any other, seems to be the neighborhood that
– to the concern of some other council districts and council members in those
districts. This is true. This is true. But, you know, H made an interesting comment to me when I was interviewing him, and that's that he said, well, you know, we still need the big houses for the CEOs that of the companies we're going to try to attract to Fresno. Now, that just doesn't seem to jibe at all with where Swearingen's at as far as, you know, going forward from here. I mean, big homes on big lots, I that doesn't just seem to be Ashley's thing at all.
A signal to the development community that he's maybe open to their concerns.
Quite possibly, yes.
Moving on and looking at this mayor's race, we already have talked about Lee Brand, but he's been in the news. He has declared his candidacy for mayor.
A long time ago.
A long time ago.
Seems like he's been running forever.
Yes, exactly. A current city council member representing Northeast Fresno. And he was in the news last week, as all members of the city council were actually in the last 2 weeks, as this controversy over the bonuses that Ashley Swearingen as mayor authorized for top city officials, top administration officials, without apparently the knowledge of the city council, got a pretty strong rebuke from the council last week with their passage of a tougher transparency act, which she hadn't been following, and also banning future bonuses. Does this complicate Swearingen's last year and a couple months in office and working with the council, do you think?
Well, she certainly doesn't want it to. And I don't, you know, and I know that there are some angry council members. So, you know, just to briefly recap, you know, Lee Brand is the one who pushed the original Council Transparency Act back in 2010, along with Henry T. Perea, who was on the council at that time. So this is Lee's thing. You know, I mean, Lee's done all these acts. You know, he's done a lot of these these things since he's been all these proposals since he's been on the council. And this is one of these where, you know, it's the idea is to make all these things publicly available to the internet, to the council, of course. and everybody. I mean, the reaction was so visceral among all seven that I truly believe that they did not know what was going on. And Swearingen, you know, I think she recognized, I mean, you know, if nothing, she's, you know, politically savvy enough to see a losing effort, you know. So the next day, I mean, she apologized and said, hey, you know, my bad, didn't, you know, we messed up. We're going to get this stuff up on the internet ASAP, and we're not going to do this again. But I think at that point, the council was dictating terms to her, and that was, yeah, you're not, we're going to make sure. And so they've tied it actually to the budget, which was council member Esmeralda Soria's idea that, you know, the budget will not get passed unless, you know, they've signed off on all these, you know, the any proposed, not only just bonuses, but, you know, these deferred compensation packages that, you know, pensions and stuff like that, that, you know, are some pay down the line that's in addition to your base salary. So I think now that, you know, what you're going to see probably up on the internet is this, you know, all this data right there, supposedly easy to read. But still, even I think for like council member Capriolio, that was just not enough. You know, I mean, that guy was the most angry of them all. And so, and I mean, I think there's to a certain extent, you know, there's other people that share his anger. But I think, so you're talking about, you know, you're talking about affecting, you know, the last 14 months of her term. So I think for Capriolio, you know, he's holding on to this anger, and maybe there's a few others too. But I think the other ones, I think probably a majority, you know, I mean, there's, you know, Fulton Mall's coming up December 3rd. You know, they're trying to make the numbers match.
And right now they don't. They're still about $2 million over.
Right.
There.
So they're going to go in and they're going to pick and choose. And I wrote a little bit about that. And so I talked to Mayor about it, you know, like, and one of the examples she gave is they have like 10 bike racks. They had to put in the bid, which what they can't do is they cannot renegotiate the bid, because that's a violation of the law. You know, the bids are in. But they can say, for instance, say there's going to be, you know, 15 of these really nice decorative bike racks. I think we'll only take 5 of those. So they're going to try to go through and try to trim.
That's a lot
million,
of bike racks to
$2
trim.
$2 million. And so I don't. So it may be a scaled down version. I don't know. Some of the fancy bells and whistles may be cut away. I think it's probably what you're going to see is happen. But they're confident that they can get to that. And so I think there's enough people on the council that look at some of that you know, this Thursday is the development plan, which is kind of the first cousin of the general plan. Hasn't been updated since 1964. That's going to be a huge issue that the council is going to be voting on. So there's, you know, there's issues. There's BRT, bus rapid transit, which goes
there's
once
also
again
over budget and being rebid.
So all these things are coming up. So Swearingen wants to just, you know, she wants to just put this thing behind her, you know, and I think, you know, and Capriolio was so angry, and the council, you know, that was a 6-1. I mean, the update of the Transparency Act was 7-0. I mean, that shows you the united anger, but it was 6-1 on the, you know, just basically saying, you know, no more bonuses. And I mean, that is just, I think that's just a reaction of angry. And that just shows you the level of anger among the council. But like I said, does it carry over? I don't think so. I just, it would be probably, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to tie up the business of the city over this. You know, I mean, the council's spoken, the mayor's spoken. I think everybody's saying, let's move on.
Speaking of moving on, looking at this mayor's race, there are two names that have not announced their candidacy, but they are out there and looming very large, casting a shadow over this discussion, and they are Dyer and Perea, current yes. Police Chief Jerry Dyer and current Fresno County Supervisor Henry Perea. Let's start with Dyer.
Okay.
Very intriguing that his name continues to surface in connection with rumors that he might run for office. He has been in the police chief's chair for, what, about a decade now? Started out under Alan Autry, actually more than a decade.
Right.
And is somebody who is probably the highest profile name out there. He's always on the TV news when there's an opportunity to be in front of the cameras.
In his uniform.
In his uniform.
Right. Looking very authoritative.
Yes, and looking like he's been to the gym.
He probably has, actually.
I'm sure he has. Chief Dyer is, again, his name keeps coming up. Would he be a formidable candidate?
The automatic front runner. I mean, you know, you always wonder. So, like, first of all, like, Dyer, you know, seems to be tied to almost a lot of rumors. You know, I think there's been talk in the past about him running for sheriff, you know, and that he was going to take on Sheriff Margaret Mims and this and that, but then he didn't do it. Now we're coming to the mayor's race, and I think it's clear. I mean, there's just too many people talking about it. He's calling around and he's weighing his options. I think, so I think he's definitely thinking about it. He doesn't live in the city. He lives out in the country. He'd have to move. He's been doing, as you just pointed out, he's been being the chief, which is a 24/7 job for a long time. He's been a cop for a lot longer than that. I mean, does he want the pressure and the high profile? Although I don't know if it could be any more high profile than the police chief, but does he want to, you know, do this for 4 to 8 more years as the chief executive of the city? And, you know, I think the question that probably should be asked is, okay, you know, are you okay with him running the department? There's been a lot of excessive force lawsuits. I don't know. You know, depends probably on your point of view. I know there's a lot of people in town who don't think he's done a good job of running the department. Others that, you know, I think average citizens, you know, they view him as a tough on crime guy, and that may be somebody they want in the mayor's chair. But of course, being the mayor is a lot more than being the police chief. You know, you have a lot more departments that you have to be responsible for. I don't know how happy the fire department may be about how things have broken out as far as like resources have gone over the last few years, but certainly the police always gets a lot of attention, especially in Fresno. You know, we have gang issues and we have some crime issues, and so if I was an odds maker, I other people put it at 50-50. I kind of go, I'm leaning towards, I'd say, 2/3 chance he will. So 66% he's in, 33% that he's not. I he's got other things. He's got, he's got family issues. He probably gets to run it by his wife and all this kind of stuff. So I think we were going to know soon. You have to know soon. I mean, it's decision time right now. I mean, we're almost to, the primary is in early June. So if you're going to run, I think that the time is now. Dyer, if he gets in, he's the automatic front runner because, as you just pointed out, he's on TV a lot. He's in his uniform a lot. And that's a position of respect, and I think it carries a lot of weight. And in the name ID, all these things are intangibles. Is he unbeatable? Very few people are totally unbeatable. You know, there's good political consultants in this town that can put together a game plan. Does everybody stay in the race if he gets in? Does Lee Brand stay in? Does, HB's and Dyer are friends. You know, I mean, these guys are, and they both draw from the evangelical community. So they've been friends a long time. I mean, just does HB stay in? You know, so I think there's a lot of questions here. You know, I don't know if Dyer, does he really want to go through this?
Does he want to give up his job as police chief? And can he run and still hold that office?
I think that's a question to be determined. The two options, obviously. I don't think he can be the chief. I think the two options are leave of absence or resignation. I don't think staying on as the chief is an option. I think, well, it'd be, you know, I mean, can you imagine your mayoral candidate on TV all the time as a police chief talking about, you know, the latest takedown or the latest crime bust or the, you know, whatever, the latest murder in town or whatever it's been, or they've arrested these gang members. I mean, the guy would be, I mean, essentially he'd be running a campaign whether he intended to or not on the media. All this, we'll call it, talk about an ultimate free media. So I think he has to be out of there one way or the other.
Could be a very interesting play. How much do you think it's going to cost to run for mayor? Or I should not say maybe for one candidate, but we saw last year with the race to be Fresno County judge and then the district attorney's race, this astronomical numbers we haven't seen before in spending.
Those were interesting cases, though. I think obviously in the case of Lisa Smitkamp, you know, she's from the Smitkamp family.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course you know, in the judge's race, you know, the Cashin family, you know, so for Lisa Gamoyan. So, you know, so there was a lot of, a lot of money there. I mean, I'm trying to think back on how much Swearingen, when she ran against Perea, because that's the, you know, because the last
re-election
race
was almost,
didn't count. And I can't remember what it was, but I think, you know, those would be $2,008 right when we were starting to head into the recession. Mm-hmm. I think it's... you'd have to raise $500,000 or more. I got to think, you know, maybe upwards three-quarters of $1 million. I'm just – I need to look. I mean, I can look all this stuff up.
And, yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the
spot. That's okay,
there.
But I'm trying to think back. But, you know, Lee Brand is already at $150,000. So certainly he has a – as far as that goes, he's got a jump there. And just – you wanted to ask him, I think, about one other.
Yeah, there's another candidate that has a war chest.
Well, there's Henry R. There's
two Pereas.
Well, yes, there's Henry R., the supervisor, and – and the breaking news over the weekend was that Dan Ronquillo, who had announced he was going to run for – so Henry Perea is a supervisor. He was, you know, thinking he was going to run for mayor. Dan Ronquillo decided to run for his old seat, which Sal Quintero, the Fresno City Council member, is also running for. Now, Quintero and Perea are not allies. They're adversaries. But Ronquillo and Perea, I think, are allies. So I think Ronquillo is probably privy to what – Henry R. Perea is going to do. He was in. He was – now this weekend he announced he was out. I talked to him yesterday on the phone and he just said the reason is because it looked like Perea was going to run for mayor. Now he looks like he's going to run for re-election, so he doesn't want to run against Perea. He thinks Perea's doing a good job, so he's out.
So Henry Perea Sr. appears
– looks like he's out.
From your sources that he's
and
out of the mayor's race.
And all indications, though. I don't know from Perea himself. The guy doesn't talk to me, so it's hard to know. Well, of course, then you said the other Perea, because there's that rumor that will not go away if Henry T. Perea, the assembly member who's termed out next year, will make a second try at mayor. Unsuccessful in 2008. Does he come back in 2016 and try again? And I guess the question there is, and I think you can use quite a bit of it, that he has this massive, massive political war chest of, you know, $900,000 or something. And he would – I think he'd be able to use a good amount of that because the fundraising rules are the same for the city and for the state of California and the state assembly. So, he would be, as far as money goes, you know, I guess the question is, you know, does somebody who's already lost the race 8 years ago, well, how, you know, and if he's, is he going against Lee Brand? Is he going against Lee Brand and HB's? Is Dyer in the mix? So once again, a Perea or a Democrat in general might benefit from, you know, these Republicans dividing the vote. You know, if you had Dyer.
Is Dyer a Republican?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He's also been aligned, though, with, Governor Brown. There's been talks of.
There has been, yeah. And not only that, but, you know, and Dyer said, you know, considers Perea Sr., Henry R. Perea, a friend. So, you know, it's Fresno politics. You know, the Democrats are, you know, a little more conservative, I think, than they are in the other parts of the state, which, of course, the state Democrats completely still don't understand, you know. Real quickly, you know, if you just look at, you know, some of the David Valadao race, I think some of the Democrats are frustrated there because the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, bigfoots us. And they say, you know, we're going to run the campaign. And they don't know how to run a campaign in the Valley. It's not like running a campaign in a lot of their Democratic areas. So that's how Democrats are in Fresno. You know, if you want to talk liberal, you know, they're certainly, you know, I think they've been had that term laid on them, but they're certainly not liberal when you compare them to the coastal Democrats.
We've got about 1 minute left. Connie Perez out of the race to take on Valadao. There's other names out there. You mentioned the DCCC, and they're trying to find someone to take on.
They don't like Danny Parra.
They do not like Parra, who has a lot of local endorsements.
He does, but no money.
Exactly.
Zero money. Yeah, and zero fundraising ability.
Is that a self-fulfilling prophecy in the fact that he doesn't have money because people say he doesn't have money?
Maybe it is, but you know what? He didn't raise very much money when he ran for supervisor last year either and got really trounced by Buddy Mendez. So I think that people look at that. And this is – history is not good. So this Andre Gonzalez, Bakersfield's city school trustee, is the latest possibility of getting into the race. So,
again, John Ellis with us today, the Fresno Bee, talking local politics. You can continue to read his coverage of the Fresno mayor's race and any other breaking news scandals. Great job breaking the story on the bonuses in the Bee 2 weeks ago. Again, John Ellis at the Fresno Bee, thanks again for joining us.
Anytime, Joe.
This is Valley Edition.